by raised hand. Aren't you really glad this impeachment stuff is over with?
Yes. Boy.
Glad the impeachment is over with. Kind of tired of hearing of high crimes and misdemeanors. What does that mean? High crimes and misdemeanors. That's what impeachment was all about. We're not doing impeachment today. We're continuing in the season of Epiphany today. We're in Epiphany here. And so the title of our message is not High Crimes and Misdemeanors, it's High Beams and Missing Meanings. High Beams. And I assure you, I'm not talking about cars. I'm not talking about headlights, although I'll reference them as an analogy. Epiphany is about Jesus being manifest, made manifest, revealed, shining forth. The whole Epiphany season is about that. And the Epiphany season is also about us also shining forth the light of Jesus Christ into the world. And so in some sense, the Epiphany season, while it was true of Jesus' earthly life, is to be replicated in our lives. That we are those who are shining forth the message to the nations, to the world, that Jesus Christ the King has come and he rules and he reigns. So there's a connection there about the light that we are shining. And so it's high beams and missing meanings. I'm going to take two scriptures from our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 16, we read this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And then verse 20 says this. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for these scriptures and the other scriptures that we've heard and that we will look upon here this day. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to rightly see the Epiphany of Jesus Christ historically in his earthly life, being made manifest there in history. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be those who embody that Epiphany going forward in this dark and crooked world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not talking about cars. I'm talking about your light as we talk about high beams and missing meanings. Any and all earthly analogies ultimately fall short. We're talking about God, and we're talking about how God works with, in, and among his people. So, as I talk about this and make an analogy to high beams, I want you to cut me a little bit of slack. I want you to cut me a little bit of slack as I am going to begin by trying to cut a little bit of slack about two songs that are usually associated, at least to some degree, with Epiphany. They're contemporary music, but they highlight this idea of light. They symbolize Epiphany. And they are a part of the contemporary music genre that has been a part of the church of recent past. But you know, the problem for me with contemporary music is that by the time I get around to what is contemporary music, it isn't contemporary anymore. So these are going to sound like old hat to you. Nevertheless, let's move forward. There are two songs that we are going to be talking about. They're nice attempts. I'm going to cut them slack. They're usable. Please, when I mention these songs, do not leave concluding that the message Pastor Jim was speaking about was not to sing these songs, that these songs are no good. That's not the message. But we are going to talk about two songs, and they're nice attempts. They're very usable. But they missed the mark. They're a part of the missing meanings of the Epiphany season. Each fails because they fail to incorporate
our union with Christ, which has been the theme of several of our Sunday school sessions. They miss the mark because they fail to incorporate our union with Christ. One song says way too little about us. The other, too much about us. What's the first one that says too little about us? The first one is this. Shine, Jesus, shine. That has an emphasis that surely is important, but is it missing something? Shine, Jesus, shine. Very commendable on some level, but it excludes us in the practice. It leaves us on the sidelines. It leaves us as spectators. Shine, Jesus, shine. A wonderful thought, a wonderful song, but excluding us for all practical purposes. Epiphany is about Jesus shining in the world for sure, but Epiphany, as it continues and as it's meant to continue in us, is about our participation in his shining. And that's why Jesus says what he says in verse 16. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now the second song. Oh boy. This little light of mine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Okay, I get it. Especially you parents of some young children here. I get it. It's okay. It's a kid's song. I get it. It's a good place to start. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But this, even though it is ostensibly humble, after all, this little light of mine, the person's not claiming high wattage or voltage going in behind this light beam, this little light of mine, ostensibly humble, fails to recognize that without him, we really have no light in ourselves. And there may be some alternate and otherwise other parts of that song that reference Jesus. I don't think so. But failing to reference Jesus at all, this little light of mine misses the mark. It's a part of the missing meanings that we find in our Christian culture. Among the scriptures that I would invoke here about why this can be a little bit off the page a little bit. And again, the message is not don't sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. And it's not to not teach your kid this little light of mine. That's not where we're going here. But the scriptures that I would invoke here with this little light of mine, first is Psalm 36 and 9, where it says that, you know what, it's only by his light and in his light do we see light. There is no little light for us to shine unless God himself even gives us light and life. And then secondly, in Isaiah, a more mature, full-blown aspect of our, the fact that we are devoid of light would be Isaiah 8 and verse 20, where it says, if you speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Human beings, naturally, outside of the whatever common grace is given to us in God, have no light. Now, even if we were to argue, and I'm fine with this, even if we were to argue that we indeed possess and we have a little bit of light through the common grace that is given to all mankind, even if we were to argue that, we'd still have to say that this is something of a low beam. A low beam. Not much light. And low beams do not epiphany make. Low beams cannot produce the epiphany that the Bible calls us to. Jesus was not a low beam himself. He shined for all the world to see. And as we who follow him, we are to shine brightly with high beams for all the world to see. Now, when we come to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, we are seeing that we need something altogether different. Now, again, I'm kind of comparing here righteousness and light and kind of putting them together here. But this verse is really teaching us that we need something different. We need something more than that which we naturally have. In this verse, it says, I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Guess what? You have in no case will you enter into the kingdom of heaven. The import of this verse is this, is that we are not competing with the Pharisees on a human level. We are not competing with the Pharisees on a human level. That's not the teaching of this verse. You see, most of them had a disciplinary regimen that was far, far, far superior to ours. Their prayer times, their fastings, their giving the alms to the poor. However we might define our righteousness, theirs was far, far superior to ours. So we're not competing with them on a human level. The point of this verse is that the righteousness that is in view there that they were practicing was a no-beam, low-beam sort. Let me explain it to you this way. In Isaiah 64 and 6, it says, all our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Not righteous at all is the point. The Pharisees, to the degree that they were independent of Christ, whatever their level of righteousness was like a filthy rag. And in the origin here, this is expressive of what a woman would do to keep herself clean during her menstrual cycle. It's a filthy rag. That's what their righteousness was like. Now, back in my day, and talk about analogies that kind of fall apart. Back in my day, and I've talked with Dennis here, and he told me that sometimes this is true, and it wasn't universally true even back in my day. But back in my day, my recollection of this is that the low beam of my car, my headlights, the low beam would go off when the high beam came on. The low beam would go off. And so we are creatures who either have no beam, and if we want to say we have a little light that shines because of common grace, I'm okay with that. But the point was is that the low beam would go off when the high beams came on. What I submit to you that this gospel lesson is telling us today is that we are in need of that high beam. And the only way for that high beam to be activated is through our union with Jesus Christ. We are requiring an alien righteousness. Alien simply means not somebody from another planet, but something that's outside of ourselves to provide us with the voltage and the power, whatever it is, that can produce a high beam illumination. We need that alien righteousness that is imputed to us from the outside that shines out from us. And so it's Jesus Christ who represents a different bulb altogether. A different bulb altogether that he now shares with us. He shares with you. He shares with me. In him, the high beams are on. In him, the high beams are on. It's not just me anymore. And whatever low beam or no beam that I have. It's not just me. And it's not just a street light that is outside of me that's shining. In union with him, you see, Epiphany continues. And Epiphany continues because it's not this idea where it's shine all by yourself, Jesus, shine. Nor is it this little light that is completely my own. It's neither one of those. It's not shine all by yourself, Jesus, shine. And it's not this little light of my own. In him, our righteousness shines in high beams. Like the noonday sun. In Psalm 37, it talks about placing our trust in him. And just, you know, as he has poured his life into us, let us cast ourselves upon him. And so the first three verses here of this psalm, the first three verses of this passage that starts in verse 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm sorry, that's a different one. That's Proverbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land. Verily you shall be fed. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Here's this whole idea of us being in that locative position that says we're in Christ, right? He will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5 says this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will bring it to pass. And then we come to verse 6. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice, your judgments as the noonday. The high beams of your life will be on as you are in Christ. You know, Matthew 5 and 14, I have to say, Jesus does say, you are the light of the world. We read it. You are the light of the world. But this is never to be construed as outside of Christ. How do we know that? John 8 and 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world because he first is and was the light of the world. In him the high beams are on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us. If you think you're wise, guess what? Your wisdom is in him. Your righteousness is in him. Otherwise, it's filthy rags. You're not going to be able to compete with the Pharisees on human terms, on the human level of righteousness, because that was filthy rags. But in him we have true righteousness. In him we have true sanctification. In him we have redemption. I wonder if we could truly recognize that this is how St. Paul viewed himself in Philippians 3, verse 9. He says this. I skipped that verse. Let's go back to that verse. Yeah, let's go back to that verse because where is the glory? Can you go back to that verse, Aaron? By the way, Aaron's doing a great job. Pray for Kristen. Kristen is hurt herself, and Aaron's filling in. Thank you, Aaron. You're doing great, and I skipped over verse 31. And verse 31 talks about the fact that, you know what, all of these things that we think are great things and they are great things, wisdom's a good thing, right? Sanctification's a good thing, right? Righteousness is a good thing, right? But let he that glories glory in the Lord. Those things didn't come from ourselves. Those things didn't come from our little light of our own shining. Let him that glories, let him glory in this. Let him glory in the Lord. The way Jeremiah, this is a quote from Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, that he knows me. Now let's go on to that next verse here. This is what St. Paul said about himself. And I would be found in him. This is Paul's testimony, who lived outwardly and ostensibly a life far, far more righteous than any of us in terms of human terms. St. Paul says this, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness,
He wasn't relying on that work of his own at all. He recognized that all of his righteousness was as a filthy rag. The light of his life before Christ was either a no beam or, because of common grace, a flickering little low beam. But Jesus Christ, united with him, made St. Paul the high beam that he became. Not having my own righteousness. By the way, the rebuke in Isaiah's time was one of those who people were manipulating God. They were trying to do their righteous deed so that God would respond to them. They were using God. Isaiah 58, verses 3 and 4. Look into the last part of this. You fast for strife and debate to smite with the fist of wickedness, and you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on God. Heard by God. To be heard on high. They were using this outward righteousness to pull strings with God, to manipulate God, to use God. True righteousness is not about us using God. True righteousness is about God using us. Verse 10 of that passage about fasting. If you will draw out your soul to the hungry, this is the fast that God had desired to satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light arise in obscurity, and your darkness shall be. The high beams of your life will come on when you're no longer using and manipulating God for yourself, but God is using you. And by the way, this verse here, I didn't look them all up here, but we had it read for us, and it is surrounded, the context of this is verses that are connected with Jehovah, the name of the Lord. Not about me. So it's not about my little light of my own shining, and it's not about God shining completely independent of me. It's not about God as some big, giant street light in the sky. Although he does that, he lightens the way ahead of us. Epiphany is about us united to Christ. Just like a high beam. He is that new bulb connected to us, in union with us, that shines brightly. The context of our whole New Testament reading from 1 Corinthians 2 was St. Paul. And what was he doing? He was giving us a low beam testimony. I came to you in weakness, right? I wasn't good at this. I wasn't good at that. I was trembling. I'm no great shakes. Human wisdom isn't going to do it. I'm not relying on human wisdom. He wasn't relying on the low beam. He wasn't relying on his own low beam testimony. And that's why he preached not himself, but he preached Jesus Christ. And that's why he said what he said in this verse. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul's ministry was not about his low beam light shining. It was not about just God shining. It was about that high beam of being in union with Christ shining down. Was Paul in union with Christ? We have every reason to believe so. We have it right in this same passage. The last verse you had read for you in this passage said this: for who has known the mind of the Lord? You know, there's a sense in which, you know what, I don't know everything there is to know that the Almighty knows. But you know what? Because I'm in union with Christ, I have the mind of Christ, and so do you. We're in union with him. Paul was in union. And so here again, the Christian life is not about you making your own way through the darkness of this world with no light or even a low beam light.
a low self-beam light. That's not what the Christian life is about. Nor is it about you being a spectator watching Jesus shine. Jesus does that. But it's about our participation. It's about Jesus, who by his love turns on those high beams. Those high beams being you and he together. No more just you. The low beams go off when we become a Christian. This new creature, this new entity emerges. It's a high beam. The high beam, Jesus is the bulb, and he has invited you to be in union with him. The low beam is off. This new creation, this new creature, you in union with him. And what are you doing? You are extending Epiphany throughout history. He did it on earth all by himself in the human flesh. Epiphany, his light was shining. The whole world, it was being revealed to everybody that Jesus was the Christ. And now Epiphany has continued with you and he shining as a high beam all through history. And what are we doing? We're fulfilling Daniel. Daniel 12 in verse 3. It says, "And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." All of this begins with his love for you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, and Father, where our analogies just fall. We readily admit that they fall. We readily admit that they fail. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that his vision is that we are in him, and that therefore we are the light of the world as well. Father, help us to be mindful of those missing parts, those misguided parts whereby somehow we're thinking it's about us shining independently of Jesus, or that we're thinking about Jesus shining independently of us. Lord, help us to leave behind those half-truths and embrace the new creature that you have called us to be, that we might shine the light. Shine the light even unto the nations. All predicated on your great, great, great love for us. We ask this in Jesus' name.